Good morning. Nice to have spring here. Hallelujah. I'm going to do something. Before I pray, I want to share some things with you, and then we'll pray afterwards. As I prepare for the message, you know, last week we did the one on the rapture. You know, we looked at that. And so this week we're doing on the message. Just the following the scripture is that day. It's basically the day of the Lord. And so I was diligent to let you know, you know, I work on the message. I usually start Monday, and then I go through, and by Friday I'm done, and at the latest I'm done Saturday, finished, you know, so I just germinate. And so I'm doing that to let you, and so I went to bed early last night, or I thought it was early, and said sleep. I'll just put it, I woke up this morning early. And it's like, Lord, don't do this to me. I'm tired. Don't do this, you know. And it's so, you know, I'm just having that discussion. Never enters my mind like, you ought to get up. Just like, Lord, don't do this. I don't want to get up. And it's like, so I couldn't go to sleep. And I said, if I stay here long enough, I'm going to wake Linda up. So I get up, fix some cup of coffee, and go and says, well, I might as well work on the message, which is totally complete, okay? Totally complete. So I looked and opened it up. And the Lord edited the message. Edited the message. And I just changed it. And then they just edited. And I just finished barely to get on church on time. So I got up early and barely had enough time to make all the changes. Because I didn't get up when I was first prompted. And the reason Woods doesn't have the notes is because I didn't send them to him till 8 this morning. He said he hadn't put the notes on this one because I didn't send them to him. You know, I mean, I sent the old ones to him, which I redid that and had said redo the slides and all that. So I just want to share that with you, and so that you may be as perplexed as me, okay? And I'm going to say something because it's like I think you need to pay attention, okay? And I don't want to say that with too much zeal, but I think you should pay attention because I think the Lord did give me these edits. And the first part of the edit is the first overhead, totally. I mean, that totally came in this morning. And basically, so what was laid on my heart, and when I say the Lord showed me, I don't want anybody to think, oh, God spoke to Wallace. No, I'm just arguing and upset and trying to get through this whole thing, you know. So there wasn't too much holy about it, but, you know. But yet still, it did come out, and so I look back, and I said, I think the Lord wanted me to do this. So I say that so you can come to the same place where I am, okay? So we're just in the same spot like that. And the thing that was on my heart, like, says this whole end time stuff is so confusing and all that, and there's so many views. You can't believe how many views there are, and there's so many intelligent, smart people on every side. And it is really, really quite perplexing. And so I'm aware of that, and I just go through the scriptures and see what's here. Well, this morning, can you read the first line I wrote there on that? The first, anybody laughing? Huh, anybody? It says, end times, what's the last word? Resolved. And I'm saying, well, I think you probably should put in parentheses, this is what Wallace thinks. But anyway, and again, you have all this stuff. He and I have looked at this subject for years and years and years and been on both sides of it. But I really felt the Lord told me, for me, it's resolved. He resolved this. And so I feel a comfort in it. But I wanted to give you, you know, a little bit to know how it came about. So I am totally convinced in my mind this whole thing with end times is resolved. And so I'm going to share with you what I think, all right? And you can add it to your list of other people who have different views. By the way, there's a lot of people who have this view. It's not just the only thing I thought of. There's a lot of people who have similar views. But this is what I got this morning. And the main thing, because there's so many opinions, if you look at it, it's really confusing. There's more information out there than you can read on the end. It's just, you just can't do it. Now, so the two things, that the Lord laid on my heart that I think we should remember, that you should remember two things to get this right, okay, to get the end times right for you as you look in the scriptures. And number one and two. Number one is the twinkling of an eye. Number two is the thief in the night. Okay, the twinkling of an eye, it talks about the rapture, you know, raising the dead, you know, and then the rapture. It's a twinkling of an eye. Number two, the thief in the night, that's God's wrath. That's God's wrath. So remember those two things, and it's going to help you interpret the end times statements here. Now, what we have here is you look at it, and it's important to take chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians, verses 13 to 18. So that's just what? Five verses, all right? God wraps the whole thing up in five verses about the rapture and raising of the dead. It didn't take him long, you know, to do that. So he's wrapped it up. And I put in there also 1 Corinthians 15:51-52. And the reason I put it there, because it also touches on the subject, and that is the spot where you really find the term, the twinkling of an eye. Okay, that's where the term actually comes. But they're all tied together. So number one, twinkling of an eye, and you got five verses where God says, explaining the whole deal. You got it? Okay, you don't have to go anyplace else. You got it. You know, five verses. Then the second there is the thief in the night. Now, that's God's wrath. Now, that's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, four verses. And so what God does in four verses, he explains the day of the Lord. He's done. I mean, I'm looking here, nine verses, and we've got hundreds of scholars that can't figure this thing out. And what what the Lord has done is told us in nine verses what it is, what it's all about. And so I want you to start off with that. When you go into anything and, you know, somebody comes with all their books and things, says, okay, that's fine. You just need nine verses. You just need. Now, you read them and you put them how you want to, but you just need. Now, I want you to think also how Paul did this. He's talking to the Thessalonians. He went in there. They're all Gentiles. They're all pagans. The Jews rejected Paul. You see that? Run him out of town. Okay? So he just ran him out of town. So these people had like three Bible studies and ran him out of town. And so he writes them back letters. Okay, I know you have questions. So he writes back a letter. So in his letter, he writes to these people who know nothing. Let me tell you about the raising of the dead and the rapture and the end times. Let me tell you all about it. He gives them nine verses. Gives them nine verses, okay? So that should be encouraging us. Is all we need is nine verses. And we need the point. We got to remember what? Number one, what? I want you to say it. Number one? Twinkling of an eye. Number two? Twinkling of an eye. And number two is the thief in the night. So what we have with the twinkling of the eyes, the rapture, and then number two, that comes immediately after the rapture, is the thief in the light. And I put here, you have the rapture, and 1 second later, and I just, the smallest time frame I could come out, it may be shorter than a second, but you have the rapture, and 1 second later, you have the thief in the night. The twinkling of an eye is the saints in heaven, and the thief in the night, a second later, is God's wrath on the earth. There it is. There's a whole thing right there. Y'all got that? We good? Okay, now we'll go into the message. So this is what I lost my sleep over. All right, lost my sleep over. And two, I'll add two. People say, we won't study the end times. We'll study the book of Revelation. And the book of Revelation is a good book. I preached on the book of Revelation, the whole thing. It's a good book. Though I just want to let you know, the book of Revelation, we're not here. I mean, it's a good book. It's not here. One of those things, you know, C.S. Lewis, those things that, you know, he wrote all those stories. And it's okay, and they're interesting, you know, but they're just examples, you know. No, the book of Revelation is great, but basically we're not here. Y'all get what I'm saying? You can study. It's good. But it's going to happen to somebody else. It's not going to happen to us. You know. So it's, and there's good insight. Like I said, preached on the whole book. That's what I'm getting. When we talk about the end times, 9 verses, we got it. Amen? Okay? You with me? I want you to be with me before I go on. You know, I lost a lot of sleep over this. Okay. And so we can have an understanding of all this confusion. We can have comfort and we can have security in what we know. And what do we know? Twinkling of an eye, caught up with the Lord. And the second, at that time, like a thief in the night, wrath comes on the earth. That's it. That's it. We got it. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we know that the only truth is in your word and what you say. And we defer to your word, and Lord, and we know there's lots of opinions about different things, but we all agree that we have our salvation through you, and we all agree that one day you are coming back. And so as Hall believers, we believe on those two things and know that you will work out the details. So God, I pray you come upon us, speak to us in a special way, anoint me with your spirit, open hearts to hear what you have, what your word has to say. So we give thanks to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:2, which I will remind you, follows 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Okay, they're not disconnected. They're not in two different books. All right, these are consistent and in context. 1 Thessalonians 5:2. For you yourselves. Now, who's done? These Thessalonians. He's been. He's out. He's writing them a letter. Hadn't spent any time with that. Okay. For you yourselves are fully aware. That the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. That's going to come. Now, the interpretation of that verse is, you are fully aware. No one knows when Jesus is coming back to earth, because that day will come like a thief in the night. You see, he says, you're fully aware. Why are they fully aware? Because they know that Jesus is coming back. And that day will happen in the thief of the night. You are fully aware that you don't know when he's coming back. That's what he's saying. That's exactly what he's saying. And so we bring that to date, and it's all these people who predict the coming of the Lord. Okay, as soon as somebody predicts the coming of the Lord, I've changed churches. I mean, just change churches. There's nothing more clear in the Bible, and it says it over, you do not know when. It even goes this, only the Father knows, not even the Son. I mean, Jesus doesn't even know when he's coming back. The Father, I mean, we won't talk about the Trinity. So what I'm saying, that's huge, because people, oh, this is, things are so terrible, Jesus is coming back. Pick a date, and I'll be assured to you, he's not coming back. The date you pick, okay? So anyway, that's the whole view there, and that's the point he's making here. The interpretation, you fully know. Now, important lesson is that day, the day of God's wrath, and any time it says this day, that day, day of the Lord, same thing. Old Testament, New Testament. This is the day. They're talking about the day of the Lord. Or they're talking about the day of the Lord. So just know that. That's helpful to know when there's an emphasis on one day. That day. And the interpretation is important lesson, that day of God's wrath. Okay, I add that. When it says that day, this day, day of the Lord, it's wrath. Oh, I can't wait for the day of the Lord. Yeah, you don't want to be here. It's a day of wrath. And it's God's wrath. It's not man's wrath. It's God's wrath. There's a real interesting thing. Just came to mind, David, and he was disobedient. And God gave him like 3 choices. Okay, you fall under the hand of man, or you fall under the hand of God, or something else. Anybody remember what the 3rd thing does? I can't remember. Plagues. Are you from the plagues? See, somebody reads their Bible in here. What? No. In plagues. And David said, let me fall under God's wrath. Do not ever let me fall under man's wrath. Because he knew God's wrath was just. And man's wrath is horrendous. No justice to it. He said, it's going to be tough, but I submit to God's wrath. And so what you hear that day, when it says that, it's God's wrath. It's not man's wrath. It's God's wrath. Now, it's wrath, okay? It's God's wrath, but it's not man's wrath. So God's wrath and coming judgment on the earth comes in an instant right after the number one, rapture. See, right there. So that there's a lesson. We know that that day and God's wrath comes right after the rapture. Millisecond, you know. I don't think it's going to be 2 weeks. I think it's immediate. But the rapture comes first. In a twinkling of an eye, and we are with God, we're caught up with the Lord in the air. Amen? Then, wrath comes to the earth. God's wrath comes to the earth. Now, so we learn that the rapture comes at the twinkling of an eye, and we don't know. Well, when does God's wrath come? Now, I'm repeating myself, but for a reason. When does God's wrath come? Millisecond after the rapture. When does the rapture come? We don't know. Therefore, we don't know when God's wrath comes. Okay? I mean, this prediction. There's a guy, I guess it's okay to say his name. His name was Camping back in the 70s. And the guy was like a powerful teacher, and he's on the radio and stuff like that. And then he comes up, and he said he knows when Jesus is coming back. And it said the Bible says you can't know the day or the hour. You know, he says, well, it doesn't say you know, but you could know the month or the week. I said, wait a minute. This guy is well known. And then he predicted the day, and you know, also send me your offering. And you know, I thought, wait a minute, if he's coming, I haven't seen you nothing. I'm keeping my money. You know, I don't know why I would send you my money when Jesus is coming back. But anyway, but this guy totally got off back. It just fell off the wagon now. He really saw. After he said that, you didn't have to wait for him to say anything else. Just done. Just, I'm sorry, buddy. So, but anyway, so we can have it here. Now, in other words, believers are caught up in the twinkling of an eye, and an instant later, God's judgment comes on unbelievers like a thief in the night. We got the twinkling eye. He's got, the people on earth have the thief in the night. You can see the separation, okay? But it's two groups of people. It's two groups of people. It's not one group of people. Now, so let's look now at second verse. 1 Thessalonians, and the title of the message is That Day. So we're looking at that day. And so the first thing we know about that day, we don't know it when it's coming. When it's coming. That day. 1 Thessalonians 5:3. When is that day coming? While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. It's like, oh my gosh. Now, this is, that's frightening, right? Note, we're not here. We're not here. He's just letting us know what's happened to the folks here. Now, he's also letting the people in Thessalonica know, because they don't know. He's told them Jesus is coming back. He, wait a minute. They're all shook, like, well, what if I'm here and he comes? And what's so he's explaining this to them so they'll have some understanding of this. But this discretion, we are not here. So that's key to know about this verse. Now, unexpectedly, on that day, the worldwide great tribulation will come. That's when it comes. Now, it's really important. We look at the terrible times around us, and we've heard it. We've probably said the same things. And we predict when Jesus is coming back. Have you done that? This is so bad. Jesus has got to come back. He has just got to come back. It is so bad. And then we find out something here that is fascinating. The Bible points out that is when people are saying peace and security. Peace and security. That's when sudden destruction comes. See, we're wrong. We're wrong. It's just terrible he's coming back. No, that's a sign he's not coming back. It's when they say, peace and security. It's like, uh-oh. I'll tell you something. One time, I fall in this trap, you know. And I did that with this. And I'll bring something up. I don't know what your political view. But, you know, what was Trump's son-in-law? Kirchner, you know. He's a smart kid. So he went to the Arab countries. He did something really smart. And he really worked some issues and had some good thoughts. And he's... anyway, not getting the details, but he worked a peace with Saudi Arabia and stuff, and he got those people, what's your commonalities, and he got them talking to Israel, and so it's really, everybody's making, that's crazy what was happening, and said, all of a sudden, Israel and Saudi Arabia were talking, and there was the first time in history there was elements of possible peace between the two countries. I went, uh-oh. I mean, I did. I go, uh-oh. This is like peace, security. I said, it ain't good. I mean, I Linda, I said, make sure the house is clean. I said, we're out of here. See, but what it was, the shock was, it's like peace and security. My first thought went to this verse. But that's what it says. When Jesus is going, now there's birth pains. The Bible talks about Jesus' birth pains. There's going to be birth pains. There's going to be tornadoes and hurricanes and earthquakes. Yeah, that is going to happen around, and it's evidence of God's hand, and God judges nations, and God still moves. But on his return, when he comes back to bring his wrath, everybody, non-believers on the earth and believers that are not that well understanding, they're going to say, this is peace and security. We made it. Then he comes. So you're like, Kirchner scared the living daylights out of me. I said, Lord, he be. So, but this is going to be, what does the Bible say? What does it say? Now, so when we see, so that day, there's going to be tranquility that precedes that day. All right? Hey, things are falling apart and may judgment fall here and here. But it's not a sign the Lord's coming back. It's just not. It's when everybody thinks they got their acts together and they solve all the world's problems, then he's coming back. He's coming back. When is that day? We don't know. Like I thought it was, 4 years ago when Jared went out and, did his thing. I said, oh, we're in trouble. Kushner just, got us in a bad jam. Jesus is going to come back and use that kid. Anyway, didn't happen. Didn't happen. Okay, so here we go. And so as we look through this, again, it's to understand the Bible clearly says no one knows when Jesus will return. However, the Bible tells us a whole lot about that day. He does. He tells us a lot of information about it. So he wants us to be aware of it and so that we have an understanding. Now, we're all together up in this point, Okay, what are the 2 points we need to know? Number one, twinkling of an eye. Number two, thief in the night. Twinkling of an eye, it's Jesus, thief in the night, havoc. Havoc. And that's what the world's going to feel. It's like, oh my God, what's happening here? Didn't expect this. Now, the message is on that day. And it's on the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord, when you look in the scripture, and he talks about the day of the Lord, Jesus comes back and judges everything, okay? But as you read through it, you see that the day of the Lord is a unit of time. It's not 24 hours. It's a unit of time. And I believe, and I think the scripture says, that this unit of time includes the 7-year tribulation we have in Revelations. It includes that. It includes that. Okay? And it's all about the wrath of God. A lot of people don't believe that, but I believe that. The day of the Lord is an extended time, which includes the seven-year tribulation. Sudden destruction will come upon them, on these people, as labor pains come on a pregnant woman and last for a period of time. So you ladies that have children, the whole world is going to feel the misery you went through when you had your little ones. But it's going to come sudden. And it has the example of this. Here you are, pregnant, and all of a sudden, labor pains. It's like, whoa. You know, it interferes. And then after the labor pains strike, then they carry on for a while before it actually gives birth. But it makes a point here. That day of the Lord comes like labor pains. And like labor pains, there's an extended period of time with that. Isaiah 13:8 has this verse, and it talks about the same day, but uses that same thing about labor pains. This is how everyone's going to feel at that time on the earth. And Isaiah 13:8 says this: they will be dismayed. Pains and agony will seize them. They will be in anguish like a woman in labor. Everybody. It's worldwide, and it's everybody. It's not in a spot. It's not in an area. It is worldwide. Now, Jesus warned us about this. He told us it's coming. Matthew 24:21. Jesus said, then there will be great tribulation. It's more than a day. It's a period of time. Then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been seen from the beginning of the world until now. No, and never will be. You ain't seen anything. Whoa, this is really bad. Well, you ain't seen nothing. What's going to happen? Peter prophesies about this great tribulation. He uses some of the same terminology. Very interesting. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. And then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done will be exposed. So everybody's in agreement of what's happening with this. This is, I mean, as a Christian, you know, Jesus is Lord, and he will return. I mean, and he's going to return to burn things up. I always talk about, Linda tells me I should keep some of this to myself, but I have to say something. Like, I can't get excited about global warming. I just can't. Because I know it is really going to get warm when Jesus comes back. You think you ain't seen nothing on global warming. And I don't care what you're driving. I mean, when Jesus coming, it's burning up, you know. And I don't think he's going to half burn it up before he gets it. No, he's going to come. He's going to burn the whole thing up. And that's what Peter said. And whistle like a thief in the night. It's a great tribulation. Like a woman, a pregnant woman in labor. Old Testament, New Testament says the same thing. It's tremendously, tremendously consistent. So, well, a good twinkling of an eye. Everybody's excited now about the twinkling of an eye, aren't we? Twinkling. We're with Jesus. Twinkling of an eye. Because I don't want to be down here with a thief in the night. See? They're going to be back to back. Rapture first, resurrection first, thief second. But they're going to be back to back. Now, the day of the Lord ends. It actually ends. There's the wrath of God coming. The day of the Lord will end when Jesus returns after the seven-year tribulation has run its course. He will return afterwards. After it's run its course, that 7 years. We have that time frame. But after it's run its course, Jesus will return. Now, I'm going to read this verse because this verse, most of the people who have all the different views, and by the way, these are brilliant people. I mean, I'm just trying to come to grips with, for me, so I can have a view and you can have a view and have a consistency and security and not be tossed to and fro. But they all agree with this verse. They just disagree about certain things that are coming. It's Revelation 19:11. Because Jesus is coming back. Now remember the twinkling eye. We're caught up with the Lord in the air. happy, okay, tranquil. Revelation 19:11, the Lord is coming back. I can't wait till the Lord comes back. I can't wait for the rapture to go be with the Lord, because I don't know when he's coming back. It's going to be a good place to be. Revelation 19:11, then I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness, he judges and makes war. His eyes are like flames of fire. He's coming back. By the way, this is global warming. This is it. This is global warming. All right? And so the Lord's telling us up front so we understand what's going on. Now, right here at this point, it's done. All right? All the people say, done. It's done. There's no argument here. Well, you know, Jesus, I really don't think you're doing it the right way. And I really have a lot of questions which you had in Scripture. And, it's done. It's just done. It is done. It says every person will fall to their knees. You know, it's like, oh, buddy boy. You know, every person will fall to their knees. Because when Jesus comes, it's not the sweet Jesus carrying a lamb and, no, he's going to come and people will be terrified. Even when Jesus appeared to believers, they were terrified. When we comes like that, we're going to be terrified. It's done. It's finished. It is over. Hallelujah. Now, Thessalonians goes on. It goes on. And it really is interesting that we see this judgment. And this is happening. And this is what Paul's telling these folks. Because they don't know. And he's giving them the quick, concise view in these verses so they can understand. You know, they don't have time to go through the book of Revelations. Besides, it hadn't been written then, but he doesn't have time to go over the whole list. So he gives them the 9 verses, and they got it down. And they go, okay. Then he says something really important in 1 Thessalonians 5:4. And this is why he said it's hugely important. And it's in your Bible. You should circle it. It says this. But you. You with me? He just gave you. This is what's happening. Jesus, you're done. It's over. It's done. Destruction. Like a woman having, contractions. It's done. It's over, Then he says, but you. That is huge. And it also gives a contrast between the people with the Lord and the people on the earth. But you. Because he just told us in chapter 4 that they were caught up with the Lord. From the graves and the rapture, they caught up with the Lord in the air. And then, boom. And then this is what's happening on the earth, which is what the Thessalonians were worried about. He says, now, but you. It's not going to happen to you. It's not going to happen to you. So that but you is huge. Now, so the but you, it says, 1 Thessalonians 5:4, again, it's just the next verse. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. Now, sometimes you can misread that, we'll know it'll be ready and what happens, we'll be all geared up. That's not what he's saying. He said, you don't have to worry about this period. You don't have to worry about this period because you're not in the darkness. You're in light. You don't have to worry about it. You win at the twinkling of an eye. You're not here. You don't have to worry about it at all. You don't have to worry about it at all because it's not going to surprise you because you won't be here to be surprised. Did you hear what I said? It won't surprise you because you won't be here to be surprised. And anything that happens while you're here, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It's not going to happen. Oh, the Lord's coming. He's not doing it. Not happening. See? And I'm talking to believers. How many believers? Oh, God, I'm like, the Lord's coming back. And yeah, but not the way you think. Not the way you think. Well, everything's going to hell in the handbag. Yep. I mean, the Lord's coming back. When do we get scared of peace and security? Oh, sugar. Okay. Oh my goodness. Okay, so anyway, making the big point. But you brothers are not in darkness, and that day will not surprise you like a thief. Not because you see it coming, because you won't be here. There's no surprise. There's no surprise because you're not here. See, believers will not participate in that day, the day of the Lord. That day will not overtake us by surprise, like a thief overtakes a victim. We will not be surprised because that day will not come on us. Okay, God's people said, amen. I mean, it's so clear of what he's saying. What he's saying here. And again, all you have to read is just read the verses and believe what they say. Don't read something into it. Just read what they say. It's real clear. Now, so God's wrath will come. God's wrath will come. However, as believers, we have full assurance that we will never suffer God's wrath. Now, that's a big statement. God brings his wrath. People do stupid things, you know. David, I'll follow the wrath of God, not the wrath of men. You know, because he said, God loves me, and I know these other people don't, you know. But in that big statement, we will never suffer God's wrath. Things may go wrong, but we won't suffer God's wrath. Never. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:9. All in context with the but you. But you. You won't go through this. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. For God has not destined us for wrath. And all God's people said, amen. That's an absolute. You know, that's one problem. Hey, that is going to come true. They're all going to come true. God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're different. That's the reason we go in the twinkling of an eye, because of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are chosen. We are God's very own. We are secure and tranquil. Tranquil. I got to work on the tranquil part. Tranquil. Looking to Jesus. We are confident in Christ's finished work, and it cannot be canceled. This fact should be motivation to always be alert and encourage other believers and warn unbelievers. Do you see? We encourage believers. Come on, you're okay. God's coming back. I'm moving to mountains. And come on, you're okay. I don't think you need to move the mountains. I don't think that's what God wants. You encourage believers to participate, to continue being involved, because that's not what Jesus said. And unbelievers said, you know, he is coming back, and he will burn up everything. I mean, I just love the global warming. Listen, I think you should be nice. You know, I mean, I don't think you should throw trash on the yard and all sorts of stuff, you know. But don't get wrapped up in this like it's religion, you know. No. Global warming. You are dead on about global warming, but it's through Jesus. And the only way you can get out of it is through Jesus. Yeah, it's, you know, just an opportunity to share. Now, but we have all this information. Now the Lord's wrapping it up. He said, you should be encouraged. Now, I don't know how you felt by going through chapter 4 of the rapture and today, this, and I don't know how you come out. What it's meant to do is you be encouraged. Now, I may not have given it the proper presentation that you are encouraged, but it is supposed to encourage you, because it ends in verse 18, 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says this, therefore, now I'm going to tell you, why is the therefore? Therefore. Why is the therefore? Therefore. Because of what he just said. Therefore. Because of the rapture. Because of the coming of the Lord. Because you know all this. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. You know what's going on. You're on the front line of this. You're not afraid. You're a twinkle. Hey, God is in control. Big things are happening. I am not afraid. Hey, the Lord's coming back. Come on, I'm not worried. He's going to take care of us. He's going to take care of the body of Christ. Body of Christ. The closing statement on the rapture in chapter 4, the closing statement is the same verse. Paul just repeated himself. He just repeated this. Encourage one another. Here's the rapture. Resurrection. Encourage one another. Here's the day of the Lord and coming, and he's coming back, you know. But therefore, encourage one another. See? He's as happy about the rapture as he is the thief coming at the night. Because the Lord is intervening in humanity to carry out his ultimate plan for his people. And we know we're not destined for wrath. I mean, take that verse. If we're not there, well, the Lord's coming and his wrath is coming. Well, I must going to be pulled out of here because he won't pour his wrath on me because of what Jesus did. See how your thinking changes? Your whole thinking changes. And you're talking, the wrath's going, do you know Jesus? No. Well, you're right. You know, let me have pray with you, and God's wrath will not fall on you. Or you got to believe it. Listen, that's going to happen. Be tranquil. See God working, moving in a powerful way in this world. He knows what's going on. Work with him. Don't go to the mountains, buy a cabin, and hide. I actually know a guy did that. This guy was really brilliant. He's an Air Force like general or something. He says he's going to do it. He said he's coming back, and when the Lord comes, he's not going to caught. And that's right. When the Lord comes back, he's not going to get caught up in this. And he bought a place in the mountains, built a cabin, filled it with food. I don't know. He may still be there. This was 20 years ago, or whatever. Or somebody should check on him. He may not. I don't know like that. But you see his coming. The Lord's coming. The judgment's coming. You know. Well, no, if you understand this, you wouldn't do that. And I don't think building a cabin and putting it full of food, you're going to get out of it. You know, it's just not going to work. It's just not going to work. This is poor understanding there. And so we know the wrath's not coming on us. Okay, we'll wrap it up with this. The basic grasp of these truths should lead us in individual growth as well as overall collective growth as a church, because our eyes will be on Jesus and eternity. See? Our focus will change. Look what Peter says. Peter wraps the whole thing up in a really nice way. I think I mentioned this last week. 2 Peter 3:11. This should be what every person walks out of here with. And if I did a real good job, that's what you should walk out of here with. But this is what the Lord says. 2 Peter 3:11. Since everything will be destroyed this way, what kind of people ought you to be? Now, I mean, that's pretty cut and dried, isn't it? You believe this? Okay, what kind of people ought you to be? You decide. You got the truth. You know, you decide what kind of people are you to be. That day is coming. We are encouraged that Jesus is supreme to all things on heaven and earth. Our message is not a message of condemnation, but an invitation to eternal joy and deliverance. Doesn't this make John 3:16 sound so good? God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. He is not going to bring wrath on you. Jesus died so you will not perish, and you are pulled away from God's wrath. So you should not perish, but have eternal life. It's encourage one another with these words. So, hallelujah. And this is where, and you mind going back, Doug, to the very first overhead, and I want to come back with, and again, this is my take on this, and you can pull this apart and do whatever you want to with it. But I do want to say, from my take on this, that in times, things resolved. The whole thing to me is resolved. And it's resolved in 9 verses. You want to hit wreck, go get it. But we're not even there. You know, and again, I like Revelation. It says, and you read it, you have a blessing. Okay? So don't get me wrong. But as far as understanding of what's happening and Jesus coming back, he told the Thessalonians in 9 verses what's happened. And that's all you need. That's all you need. And the ones that were scared, he added the next verse. He goes, but you, he said, it's not you, but you. Just want to let you know, you're okay, but you. Okay, hallelujah. Don't be confused about this. And by the way, I want to say this really nice. Usually you talk to these people, have a multitude of views and stuff. Most of them are pretty humble. Like, you know, so this is our best shot and, you know, study. And so they're pretty humble about it. Some of them are not, but most of them are fair. You know, and they'll say that's a difficult subject. It is a difficult subject. But there are brilliant people on both sides that totally disagree. Totally disagree. You know, you don't have time enough in your life to read all their books. You don't have time. I'm just telling you. But you do have time to read these 9 verses. You know, and just like, okay. That gives you a base where you have confidence and move forward in security. It's a win-win situation, I think. And I think when you take it, this is what the Apostle Paul told people who didn't know. He put it concisely, and he gave them everything they needed in 9 verses. If you want to elaborate on it, you can elaborate. But just keep that foundation. It helps you. I think this foundation helps you understand Revelations. You know, it's like, okay. Anyway, hallelujah. Good. All right. Let's pray. Be encouraged and encourage one another. Be encouraged and encourage one another. We will not suffer God's wrath. Will not. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness. And Lord, we thank you that you reveal you through your word, you reveal yourself to us. And God, through your word, we go and ask you for clarification. And I pray for each person in here that, you know, has questions, to go to the word and ask you to clarify to them and give them insight, Lord. I pray for that. And thank you that we all have the word and we have the basis and know that you speak it. And your point is revelation to encourage us and to have a security in you. And so we thank you for that. So God, I pray anointing on each person, and we are so thankful in the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for our forgiveness, he rose, and that one day, and that we'll arise and be with him also. So we thank you, God, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.